podcast. My name is Tyron D. Walker, and I'm joined alongside by a trusted friend and colleague, Tamika Reed Newman. No Danny today. He's with the Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants. He's in Greece right now. Looks like he's living it up from the Instagram pictures.
He never posts, and now all of a sudden he's in Greece. He want to post stuff.
Well, he didn't post it. His girlfriend posted it.
Oh, okay. So, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you a stunt. You cap, Danny. Cap.
Yeah. So, no, it was his girl that posted. So it's just me and Meeks rocking it out today on this beautiful Sunday morning that we're recording this podcast. And a lot of movie news has transpired. I know, you talked like a couple of days ago about what you were doing, and you were watching Stranger Things. Now, did you finish the two?
I did, yeah.
Okay, because those were like Lord of the Rings worthy movies that we said that you had to sit through to finish it. Because the first episode was like an hour and a half, and then the second episode was 2.5 hours, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and I didn't realize it when I started watching it. I watched the first one, and I was like, okay, an hour and some change. That's not too bad. And then I started watching the second one, and I'm like, why? This feels like it's as entertaining as it was. I was like, this feels really long.
Yeah.
And then I went to go pause it to see how much time I had left, I think because I had to use the bathroom or something. And I was like, oh, my God, I still have like an hour and 15 minutes left.
Yeah. No, I was doing the same thing. I was like, man, this is a lengthy finale to the season.
I could have just cut it into two episodes, honestly.
Yeah, they probably could have. They probably could have. But with that said, what did you think overall about this season now that it's completed?
Well, I didn't do my due diligence in the start to preface. I thought that this season was the final season.
No.
So I was looking for something more conclusive, and I'm just like, how do you end it on a cliffhanger like that?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then I realized that it wasn't meant to be the final season. I'm like, okay, that makes sense. Excuse me. You know, I don't know. You say your thoughts first, because I'm still gathering mine. My brain is foggy.
I've stated that I think this is the best season of Stranger Things. I think it's better than season one. I liked season two. Like, I thought it was okay. Season three, I enjoyed, but to me, season four, in my opinion, is the best that we've gotten. I've enjoyed the progression of all the characters and where they have grown physically, because they do look a whole lot older in this season.
I kept looking at Elle like, you don't. How old are you supposed to be?
Yeah, she's, if I'm not mistaken, she's like 20 or 21 right now. Millie Bobby Brown.
Yeah.
But I've enjoyed that. I enjoyed the darker elements of the show. The way that these are supposed to be kids. The way that Vecna kills some of these kids is pretty gruesome, you know, with contorting their bodies and popping out their eyes. I thought was surprised. It caught me off guard because I wasn't expecting this show.
Yeah, what was that? That was like the first episode.
Yeah,
it
was the first episode.
Yeah,
of the season.
I was like, whoa, what's happening here? What am I watching? Is this like an exorcism? Like, what's happening? I wasn't expecting it to be so. What's the word? You got to help me. I've been losing my words lately.
Graphic is.
Yeah, graphic, and just it's very visual, and I was just like, and the sound effects with it is like, let's calm down here.
Yeah, I mean, it took me off guard to to see that level of violence from that show, considering what it's been up until this point. But for me, I enjoyed that aspect of it. I enjoyed the darker elements of it. I thought, to me, they do such a creative job of narrative storytelling, because they have all these characters at different places throughout the show. They they break them up into three teams, because you have the Monona Ryder, Jim Hopper, David Harbour. They have that storyline with them in Russia, and you have the Millie Bobby Brown 11 storyline, you know, where she's out in a desert. I forget the actual name. Oh, she's Nina. Trying to get her powers back. Yeah, with Nina. And then you have her boyfriend, Mike, trying to find out or locate where she is. And then you have the Nancy Wheeler and Steve Harrington plot lines that are going on. So they do it, to me, they do a great job of jumping back and forth between these several storylines. I thought the comedy was good. I really enjoyed the Vecna background story. I enjoyed how they reveal or how they visualize information that they want to get across the audience. You know, they're not just sitting there telling you what's happening. There's actually a visual story that's going along with it. So as we're getting Vecna's background story, Nancy is going through, and it's, you're physically able to see what he went through as a child. I thought it was interesting. I figured out pretty early that Vecna was one, but I wasn't expecting his background story. To me, that was my favorite part of it. The whole Winona, I don't know why I keep calling her, well, Joyce Byers and Jim Hopper and Russia, I thought that was at times a little boring, but I ultimately enjoyed where they ended up by the end of the story. I did not like the Nancy and Steve plot line of like, are they getting back together? Aren't they getting back together?
I personally hated that. I'm like, come on. Like, okay, we're over it. Like, move on. Let's go.
Yeah. So I just always felt like she should just end up with, what's his name?
I don't know. The other guy.
Yeah, the other guy, Jonathan. And she used to always end up with Jonathan. But, you know, we'll see where that goes in season five. I was actually a little disappointed in because the Duffer Brothers came out and said that there was going to be a high body count in the last episode. So I was expecting to lose like a major character, and we didn't. I thought we were going to lose Max. When she almost died, I was like, oh man, you know, that's one of the major characters that we're ended up losing, but turns out she's still alive. And
that was pretty brutal though. I was like, I think I got emotional there, and everybody says they get emotional. I've never really gotten emotional during Stranger Things, but that part in particular, I was just like, wait, because when Eddie died, I was sad. I was just like, oh, dang. He's one of my favorite characters.
Yeah, you enjoy the character. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and I was just like, oh, dang. And I was just like, how y'all gonna bring Eddie and then, like, kill him off? I'm like, he's not... I feel like this was a setup, because he hasn't been here the whole time. And then when they took Max, I was like, oh, that really hurt. Not just the idea of her almost dying, but just the way it happened and the fact that... her boyfriend or whatever, I don't know names, but the fact that he had to watch it happen was devastating to me. Yeah. And I was just like, oh my, how traumatizing is that?
Yeah, no, Lucas is his name.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. And I think that if she would have died, it would have had more of an emotional impact on the story. But
think about her quality of life, though. It's like, I feel like some part of her did die. We haven't found her yet. I mean, the fact that she's now in a coma, they brought her back in a coma. but there's like, I don't know. I just, we'll see, like you said, we'll see what happens, but I'm just like, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I also enjoy like the side characters, you know, like, what's his name? I don't want to mispronounce his name, but he played in Game of Thrones. He played the many faced god. Oh, no, he didn't play the many faced god. He was, you know, Arya goes and she goes to Braavos and she's gets training and things. Okay, whatever. You're just looking at me like, I don't know. You don't remember. No. But the guy that played, I mean, the character's name was Enzo, and he was helping David Harbour, Jim Hopper, and Joyce escape out of Russia.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Like,
okay.
I enjoyed his character.
Why didn't you just say the Russian cop? Why didn't you just say?
Because I wanted to like give some sort of historical background to who he was. I don't know.
Okay, that's great. But then you didn't specify who the character was. You just said, oh, the person helping the Russian cop.
Yeah, the Russian cop. The Russian cop. I thought he was great. I enjoyed him. What did you think of Argyle? Did you like?
Can you be more specific?
Argyle, the guy that is helping, think of the pizza guy. Since you,
oh, thank you. I seriously, it's terrible. I do not know names. It's really bad. But the pizza guy, yes, I actually really liked him. I found him quite enjoyable, as a side character, because he reminded me of like a Shaggy in a way, and purposely, but where it's
I
like
think maybe that's what they were going for. Maybe that.
Yeah, I think so too, because he's kind of aloof.
Yeah,
but then he's also like very intuitive at the same time, and I really like that about his character. Aside from like the comic relief, he kind of just helped everybody to kind of when everything was becoming too panicked. He's just like, dudes, come on, like. Relax, become one with your oneness or something. So I liked him. I enjoyed his character.
Yeah. I also liked Murray, the other guy. Yeah. That's up. You know what I'm talking about. Okay. Great.
Yeah, I know Murray. I also found, I know this name, Yuri. I thought Yuri was freaking hilarious.
Yeah, like, no, he was
even
funny
though
too,
he was like a villain for half the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Or the antagonist, I should say, because he wasn't really a villain, but he was just freaking hilarious with the whole skit of him like describing his helicopter like a woman. Like, what is wrong with this man? He was funny. He made me laugh. I enjoyed his character very much.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the great things about this show is that there are like, and again, I say this is the darkest season of Stranger Things, but there's also like those good moments of levity. And it's also funny that like not every character is funny, but the ones that are, and that's their job, they are actually really funny in the show. So,
yeah.
And Dustin is also one of those another characters where I find him.
Like Dustin.
Yeah, I find him extremely funny, like with some of the stuff that he says.
You know who I find extremely annoying, and I feel like it's just not new. Who do you think I'm going to say?
I don't know.
Nancy. I just find her extremely annoying.
Really?
Not the character herself. Not always. She has her good moments, but there are times where I'm just like, you're really annoying. And I just think it's her. I just think it's the fact that there's a lot of like ups and downs. Like she's not consistent throughout. Like there's a moment where she's just like, we have to do this. And, you know, don't listen to me. I have to think about it. But, I just found her annoying sometimes.
Yeah. You know, the crazy thing about Nancy is like, she's actually one of the most important characters of the show. Well, she's becoming one of the most important characters on the show is, you know, because we are sort of introduced to what's going on, through her eyes. Like she's one of the first people that in this season anyways that discovers yeah. like, you know, what's going
right,
on.
Right. She's not unwatchable. I just find her at times to be like, oh my gosh, like you make yourself seem like I can do this. I'm super capable. But then you're like, oh wait, no, I can't. I'm like, wait, pick a side.
Yeah.
You want to do it or you don't. But I do agree with you though. Going back to what you were saying, cause you said a lot, I'm trying to like go back to, what you were saying about the plot line, the narrative itself, I do agree that it was told very well, because from the very beginning of this season, when they were telling the story of like the guy who killed his family or whatever, not that I thought he killed his family, but I never, at that time, I never would have thought that it was related. Like everything, every single story that was told
It comes together.
Yeah.
And they do a great job. Like, to do that, you know, you have to have like this big, you know, if you ever seen the, like the writer's room that most writers have, is they have like this big flow, almost like a flow chart where like all these characters are going and how they intertwine and where they end up, you know, how the story ends up going. So I think it's just like fascinating how they were able to sort of like keep track of all that. Cause this is a big story. That
it is. And I was going to say that it had a potential because of how big the story is. And we've seen it done before where it just fails flops. And it's because every single part, like all four narratives, as you mentioned earlier, where everybody is, all comes together, and it could have flopped because it's like, this is too convoluted. How does this connect to this? And maybe there are some plot holes in there, but I feel like the way they brought it together was very good. And then you mentioned before that you kind of guessed that Vecna was number one. I didn't guess that Vecna was number one. That took me by surprise. I was just like, okay, I see where this is going now. But I did predict, which many people may have, when they were showing Elle in the Institute, when she was talking to the guy and he was trying to help her. Number one, I never trusted him from the start. I was just like, he seems way too open to helping this girl. And then number two, I mean, he could have been
about,
just...
You're talking about Papa? Is that...
No, number one.
Before number one. No, well, yeah, that's where I sort of figured out that was who the villain was going to be. You know, like when they're on the, when he sits down and he's telling her the story of number one, I was like, well, he's number one. You know, he's telling the story of himself.
Well, I knew that. Like at that point, I had figured out he was number one. Because I was just like, okay, him telling the story, I agree. I was just like, well, I think you're number one now. But I didn't connect him as being number one to being Vecna.
Yeah, yeah.
So I thought that was very intriguing. And the fact that it was him the entire time through every single season, it makes me wonder, and maybe you know this, did they always have the intention of having that? Or is that something that just kind of worked out?
Well, if you listen to the Duffer Brothers and in their interviews, they have said that they knew from the beginning how the story ends and how they, you know, they knew the major plot points of this story that they were going to tell. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure that they had it all sort of mapped out.
That's great. That's really awesome. I mean, it's very well done in terms of story aspect.
I'm sorry, but you thought that Vecna was the father, or was his...
No, I didn't have an idea of who Vecna was. I just didn't put together at the time that Vecna was number one. I figured out who number one was, but I didn't quite figure out that they were related or that they were the same person.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I certainly didn't assume that the kid, the guy in number one in the Institute was the same as the kid of the family of the guy who got accused of killing his family. I was just like, wait, what? That threw me off. It didn't throw me off, but it definitely took me for a loop. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And to your point too, about the four different narratives going on in this one story, and four different perspectives, and how they're all doing their part to feed the same ending or find the same resolution, but they don't even know that they're all doing their part to save.
Right.
They don't even realize that what they're doing is all connected. They're just each doing their own part. And I'm sure we'll talk about this a little later, but there was a point where I was watching this and I did make a parallel to the new Jurassic World movie. Because I'm like, I feel like this is how you do it when you have several different, you have one plot line, several different stories going on.
Yeah.
This is the proper way to do it, not the muck that was Jurassic World 3.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, we'll get to that.
yeah.
Yeah. Also, okay, so two more things on this before we move on. What did you think of the Pep Squad, the basketball? I call them the Pep Squad, but the basketball team that goes on a hunt for. I just didn't like them, but I don't know what it was why I didn't.
It just felt, for me, I think it was just forgettable.
Yeah, like, I think that's a good word for it.
Yeah, in the it's not that it was not necessary. I think it definitely added a certain edge because you needed that at the end. You know, why Lucas wasn't able to save Max in time is because he had to deal with that. So I get that. But there was such a long period of time where they weren't even mentioned that I'm not even thinking about them anymore.
Right. So when you get to the final episode and you see them pop up again, you're kind of like, oh, I forgot all about these guys. You know what I mean?
It's like, oh, you're still a thing.
And I get they're like supposed to be because back during this time period in the 80s, you know, there was this fear that Dungeons and Dragons, you know, and they alluded to it multiple times throughout the show that, you know, these were devil worshipers. And, you know, you needed these antagonists, right, to sort of drive home the point, like this fear over this thing that they don't fully understand as what their point was in the overall story. It was just like they were just forgettable people to me, but I also get the fact that Lucas wanted to be a part of the group and why he wanted to be a part of that group, and I think they wanted to add more to them. I think that's why they had a larger part, you know, in the story, as opposed to just, hey, Lucas wants to be popular and he, you know, doesn't actually end up being popular even though he ends up shooting the game winning shot. But yeah, I just felt like they were like as you said, they were forgettable and sort of one note, and you get why they're part of the story, but at the same time, you're kind of like, I could do without these guys. The other part, well, I did want to also allude, I thought the effects were great in this show. I could tell that their budget went up, especially when Eleven pulls down the helicopter. In the last episode, they could never do that in season one. And to be able to do that now in season four just shows you how much more money they have now. But I also want to talk to you about the ending of season four. What did you think about now the upside down becoming a part of our world?
Okay, before I answer that question, I want to speak on the effects thing. I also just want to say that I really appreciate the time and energy and resources that it took into going to just creating Vecna as a character. Because I did see, there's an opportunity to CGI it. And I just really appreciate them not doing CGI, because sometimes CGI can just be too much. And there's enough CGI already with everything else going on in the
upside down.
Thank you. Yeah. In the underworld, in the upside down.
Yeah.
So, I was watching a quick video of like the process of that I'm sure took hours and hours.
Yeah, I think it took seven
agonizing hours. But I really appreciate it because I personally think it looks so much more real, and I think the impact is a lot more powerful with them putting that much resource into it. But to answer your question about the upside down, I didn't quite, I understood. So just so I make sure I understand, Max was the fourth that was needed in order to create that break the barrier, essentially break the dam that was keeping the upside down at bay. But she died technically, which created that, broke the dam. But then she didn't really die. But at that point, it's too late, right? Because the barrier is already broken. Mm-hmm. So what? Yeah, I don't, I am interested to see. It's kind of like, it's one of those things where in, when you're watching a movie or a show and it's like, man, I don't want this, I want the good guys to win and I don't want this bad thing to happen. But at the same time, it's like, well, what if this bad thing did happen? Then what? That's kind of where I feel like I am, where it's like, now we actually get to see what it looks like with the upside down being, it's, or, you know, intermingling with our world. And I'm actually very curious to see what happens. How do I feel about it? I guess that's it. I'm just curious. I'm like, how, I'm very interested to see how they're going to tackle this one, because I mean, the government has to get involved at this point.
Well, the,
so
well,
they're
the government
play a large part.
Yeah. Well, we did see the government in this season, right? The colonel, the sergeant. So it's going to be, we saw the good side, and we also saw the bad side of the government and their interworkings. But I am excited to see what they do and how our world is reflected, in the upside down. And, I'm sure there's some really interesting and cool things that they can do. So yeah, I mean, it's fun, you know, also because essentially the bad guy won in this season. And so it's going to be interesting to see how that impacts a team going forward and how they're going to get rid of it.
Yeah, I agree. Speaking to it, I just had a thought. When they're in the upside down, right? I think it's at the last episode, and Max is, you know, in her mind with Vecna. I got really mad at one point because I felt like everybody was being like very slow on a very time sensitive mission. And I'm thinking specifically when you see the three of them strolling up to the house in the upside down. Cause it's like, okay, Max is in this world and we gotta kill this guy before he can get to Max. But then they were just strolling up to the house, taking their, like, I'm like, I would think they'd at least be running up to the house. And even Elle was pissing me off when she was in the memory, because she sees the image of the ball, the whatever, the snowball.
Another cool effect, because it went from the ball to back to Vecna's sort of world, which I thought was
that was superb. That was excellent. But my point being is that she's like, Elle is like walking up and she's just strolling up to the table. I'm like, shouldn't you be running? Like, why is everybody taking their time? And this is a very time sensitive situation. I felt that way. It was making me mad.
No, it actually makes a lot of sense because you're right. There should have been a higher level of urgency.
Yes. You don't seem urgent at all.
backtracking real quick. I'm going to talk about that. The one scene where it's Mike and Will and Jonathan, and they're like with their security guard, you know, where they're all like in a house and they're and they escape out of the house. This had to be one of my favorite sequences of the show because it was all done in like one shot and you had the bullets flying, and I thought that was like one of the coolest action sequences. I thought the action honestly was like the best that it's been in all the four episodes. Like, clearly this is the best season. But
yeah,
overall, Tamika, because you still didn't answer the question, what did you think of the season? Was this season the best season so far of Stranger Things?
I mean, yeah, I would say so. I that's all I have. I'm not like, Like, I see people's comments on social media, like people are like getting really emotional, and I just don't think I'm that committed to the show. Mm-hmm. But I am enjoying it. For like, for instance, if I may, like Stranger Things is out. I'm like, oh, that's cool. The new season of Stranger Things is out. But then at the same time, it's like, it's been like, what, 3 years? I have to like recap, and it just takes a lot of energy and time that I just don't have. So I just wasn't like, I'm just not that invested in the show. Like, I'm going to watch the show eventually. The fact that I just happened to get sick when it was released helped, because I don't think I would have watched it when I did if I hadn't just been home, you know, recovering. But I mean, I like the show. I've always liked the show. I think Stranger Things is going to be, when it is eventually over, it's going to be
one next season.
It's going to be one of those shows that I miss. But it is one of the better shows out there right now, I think.
Yeah, for sure. Anyways, there's another show that we thoroughly enjoy, I think. Are you okay over there?
Huh?
Are you okay?
Uh-huh.
Okay. that is streaming right now on Amazon Prime called The Boys. Have you had the opportunity to check out episodes of The Boys?
Yeah, not the most recent one that was released.
No, actually, I haven't either. So that's great. So we can't really talk about episode 7, right? But you've seen the other mm-hmm. 6 episodes. Okay, so what have you thought about this season so far, The Boys?
I really like this season. This is a show that I'm a lot more excited. I have to say, as much as I like Stranger Things, this is a show that I think I'm a lot more excited for. Mm-hmm. This show, this season is absolutely insane.
I don't know
if I forgot how bad the show was, or if they just went all out for this season. Cause I just feel like they're not holding anything back, so far. It's just noises. I'm sorry. I really like Homelander. I think is still as much of a villain he is. He's honestly still one of my
That's the crazy part about him. It's just like, you know, he's the antagonist. He's a straight up asshole. He's a dick. He's every one of those words and more, but at the same time, there is something about him where Anthony Starr, the guy that plays him, where he's just on screen and you're just like, you cannot take your eyes off of him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's excellent. He's an excellent actor. What he does with Homelander, I can't imagine anybody else playing this character as well as he does. But he is just unhinged in this one. And now it's interesting to me, one, the show, how it's always been this way, but thinking of this season, how much parallel it is to, you know, reality in our actual society.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
And then Homelander representing, well, I don't want to say what I think he represents, but he's always been unhinged, but now he has found permission in society to be unhinged. And it's like, oh no, like, it's cool that you're unhinged. There's a population of people that are really going to support you and go gun ho for you because you're crazy. You know, like, he says what's on his mind and he's not political, yada yada yada, and I'm like, but he's corrupt.
Yeah.
so I just find it all so very interesting. I really like the plot line, and how the plot continues to build this season. And if we're doing spoilers, which I assume we are, the idea, looking at these characters, we always knew that Butch was also very much unhinged, but in a different way than Homelander is.
In many ways, they're the same character, except the one guy is the perceived protagonist. And I say perceived protagonist because I think in this season, he's always been a guy that's been like, walks this very fine line of being a good guy and being somebody that crosses that line. Like, he's pretty much willing to do any and everything to kill Homelander. And I think this season it further drives home that point.
Yeah, I agree. And then even what's his name? MM. He also is
Double.
Yeah, he's also very, first of all, every single shirt that he wears in this season, I'm like, yes to all of it. And then he's also very determined, but he still has his morals and his principles that he's willing to stick to. He's just like, I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it at like the way I want, not by any means necessary. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, although I don't know what he was thinking when he was trying to go up against Soldier Boy
I don't even want to talk about it. I thought in that moment he was going to die. I'm like, okay, he's willing to die for what he believes. I respect it. I'm like, I'm going to be really upset, but whatever. He really raised his fists. Like,
willing to go hand to hand combat with a superhero. Like,
right, right. I think that says a lot about his character, but he still has a lot of issues to work through. But I think I'm most surprised by Huey in this season because he has done like a complete 360. And I'm just like, he's basically, I guess his role is in part has always been to kind of temper Butch. And now he's just gotten to a point where he's just like, you know what? Like, after going through everything I've been through, he said, we're not winning here. And the only way to do it is Butch's way. So I'm interested to see what happens with those two.
Do you think by the end of this season that Huey will have a change of heart? Like, do you think he'll sort of come back and see the light? Like, he's gone too far.
I think he's gone too far at this point. I mean, you can even see it when he's taking this temporary V compound. It's a high for him. Like, you can see that he enjoys it a little bit too much.
Yeah.
But I
love that story aspect of like this character who doesn't have any powers, but is dating a superhero who has all this power, and she's the one that's always like saving him. And there is that sort of like inferiority, like he sort of feels inferior to her, you know.
But I don't think that's ever really like, yes, it might have been like underlying concern, but I don't really ever think that was a real issue until he received this opportunity where he can be greater. Cause it was kind of almost like a, like submission. It was just like, this is what it is. I'm going to love you regardless. But as soon as he felt the power and as soon as he had the ability to be like, I can be more than what I am. Now, all of a sudden he's tasted the apple and he's gotten the knowledge. And now he's like, oh, I have a problem with this now. I think now it's more evident to be an issue than it ever was before because he's gotten a taste of it. And I think now that he's gotten it, I think I'm not saying there's not a chance he would want to come back to, I guess, the light, using air quotes. But I think it's going to be really difficult. And I don't know that him and Starlight are going to come back from this.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think it's going to be a long road to have them get back together, especially everything that's transpired like so far. So I feel like every season the boys finds a way to like to just
up the ante.
Yeah, to just up the ante, like,
yeah,
you know, last season it was them driving into a whale, you know what I mean? And this season, I don't even want to say it, but it happens in the first episode and you're like, this is it. You know what I mean? And the thing is like, it, like a show like that, it could be like, it could be like too far out there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But for a show like this, because it's so well written and like it never feels like it's so far out there. It never feels like it's crazy. You know what I mean? It never feels like they're just doing it for shock like value, you know what I mean? Yeah. It feels like it's actually a part of this universe or of this world, you know what I mean? One of the scenes that like really like got me was when the Deep had to eat the octopus.
I mean, like, I don't feel bad for him at all.
He's
I have no sympathy for that man at all, but it was still literally like,
but he was like, and he's telling him, like, as he's trying not to eat it, he's like telling him, you know, he doesn't want to die. And he's like, all this other stuff. It's just, it was crazy. It was funny. But yeah, the deep is just funny. But he also has like his girlfriend who's like really the one in charge of him.
It's his wife.
Yeah. Who's the one that's really in charge.
And she can't stand that man. She can't stand him. Yeah. Like, you can see that the disdain she has for this man, but she's just like, I'm still trying to figure out what her
motive is, right?
Yeah.
Like, but she's like straight up playing this guy.
Yeah.
You have the whole storyline with Frenchie and Kimiko. I'm enjoying that storyline. I've always enjoyed their like relationship and how it's grown so far. What did you think of that dance, that musical dance number that they had? I actually found it pretty entertaining.
I thought it was entertaining. Yeah. I mean, I'm a musical person, so I thought it was entertaining to watch. Watching it next to Darius, I felt like I could feel him cringing because he's like, what is the point? Like, the point is you're in her brain. It's how she expresses, you know, her emotions because she can't speak. And you get to see how she feels in her brain. Mm-hmm. And how good she feels, the fact that she no longer has powers. And
yeah.
Do you think she'll get her powers back?
I do think she will. I honestly thought that she did get her powers back because she took a ass whooping.
She really did. I thought that girl got internal bleeding. I was like,
how is she still alive? After, right. Like, because, like, yeah, there's no way she should still be alive after taking the beating that she got. But I mean, it is a TV show, but still, in the movie, I mean, in the show that's been so grounded, I don't understand how she's still alive. So I think she will. Maybe that's a sign that she will get her powers back. I don't know. But I've enjoyed their dynamic of,
yeah,
with Frenchie, Mother's Milk, and this whole situation of with Soldier Boy. And we know the thing is that we still, maybe I missed it, but we still haven't actually seen, maybe we will never see, Soldier Boy killing Mother's Milk's father. I thought maybe we would get some sort of flashback sequence at this point.
Well, we did get something. We just didn't see and maybe that's a suggestion that maybe it didn't happen.
That's what I think. I'm thinking that maybe it didn't happen the way that he remembers it happening.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Maybe. I don't know.
And then you have A-Train is another one of these characters that like cracks me up. But because the whole African uniform that he's wearing now, and like all of a sudden now he cares about like what happens to black people, and you know, and his whole heart condition, and I've enjoyed, you know, his storyline so far as well, and I'm interested to see where he ends up. You know, like every time you think that he's turning a corner, like he doesn't. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. When Supersonic, when Supersonic is trying to recruit him to build a team, and he's like, yeah, I'm in, and then he turns out to be the guy that betrayed him and tells Homelander.
But first of all, that made me mad because I'm like, Supersonic, you put yourself in this situation. Starlight invited you because she trusted you. If she trusted A-Train, she wanted to tell somebody else, she would have told somebody else. Who told you to open your mouth and talk to somebody else about it? You don't even know the history. You just got here, bro. You don't even know the dynamics. Like, who are you to open your mouth? That made me so mad because I'm like, you put yourself in this situation.
I feel you. I feel your pain. I feel your anger.
I was so upset.
Yeah, and Supersonic. Whew, what a terrible way to go out, man.
When he did it, honestly, when they were on the elevator and he opened his mouth, I'm like, who told you to do that?
Yeah.
Starlight didn't tell you to do that. I'm like, yeah, you about to die because you just opened your stupid mouth. I already knew it was happening. I knew it was coming. I was like, you're about to die.
I tell you a character that, like, I like seeing when they're on camera, but doesn't get any real, like, development is Queen Maeve. You know, I think last year we got some with her, but she's only been in it like a handful of times. We know that she's still alive. You know, again, I haven't seen episode 7, so I don't know what happens, but I'm intrigued to see what happens with her. And also Black Noir, you know. Another character that's not on screen that much, but it appears that he's going to have play a bigger role in the final two episodes. And then him just like leaving was funny. Like when Homelander is like, yeah, man, you're like my own like real friend in this place. I trust you. And then like five seconds later.
I don't even know why Homelander feels that way. Like, I don't understand the hit. And I say that because, and correct me if I'm wrong, there's been no indication in previous seasons that Noir had any special, like,
he's Batman. That's what
Right, but he had like no certain or special loyalty to Homelander. Yeah, like, I think he was loyal to Vought, and he did what Vought he's always done, and which is apparent in this season, even with Soldier Boy, that Black Noir has always done what Vault told him to do, not Homelander. Like, Homelander, you also just got here. Black Noir's like, I've been here. I'm an original. You just got here. I'm not for you. I'm here for Vought. So I'm very interested to see where that goes. Sorry.
No, that's fine. And then I'm trying to think, is there anybody else? And Soldier Boy appears like he's going to be. Now, I unfortunately scroll through social media occasionally, so I actually do know.
Don't tell me.
No, I'm not going to tell you what happens, but I do know the big reveal that happens.
Don't tell me. I don't know what the big reveal is, but he is the weapon, right? Like, yeah, the weapon is. They were looking
yeah,
for.
Yeah, he is the weapon that they are looking for. But I've also enjoyed Jensen Ackles so far as Soldier Boy in the brief moments that we have actually had. He actually hasn't been that much in the season, because a lot of it has been in like flashback sequences that we've seen him in. But when we do actually get him, and it's him and Huey in the room, I'm not gonna lie, I did laugh out loud when he made that joke about Bill Cosby. I thought
I mean, it was kind of hard not to.
It was hilarious. That's one of the great things about the show, is that it doesn't take itself too seriously, but it also takes itself seriously. You know what I mean? Like, because this season is actually, in my opinion, this is the darkest season of the boys that we've gotten, and yet it's also one of the most funniest seasons that we've gotten as well.
It definitely. This is another one of those shows that seasons very well. This is the writers on the show are excellent. I have to say the I think it's episode 7 or whatever.
No, we haven't seen episode 7 yet.
Okay, so episode 6 then, I guess. Whatever episode had like the hero sex.
Yeah, that episode's called the Herogasm, yeah.
The Herogasm, that I was like, I have to say, I was personally very appalled. I was just like, there's too much going on here. Like, there was too much.
And it was, I'm also not going to lie, that what happened with Mother's Milk, I thought was hilarious. But
that was another reason I was just like, this poor man.
I know.
Like, I just cannot. It was just, the whole thing was just overly discussed. Like, it wasn't that it was overdone. It makes sense for the show that it is.
Yeah.
It's like, and the crazy thing, again, it's reflective of our society. We know stuff like that happens, but then you make it like hero, and it's like, who thinks of this stuff? Like, oh, gross. It's like the giant growing penis. Yeah. And I'm like, oh my, that's just, somebody cut it off. It's too much.
Oh my gosh. You know, I laughed a lot during that whole sequence. I was like, wow, this is a lot.
It
definitely was a lot. But you know what the thing was, is that it could have just been like one of those things where it's like sort of like a throwaway scene, but it actually is the setup of like a huge event that actually happens. Like, this is where everyone sort of meets up, and there's like a huge fight, you know, at the end with Homelander and Butcher and Soldier Boy that happens there. You have Mother's Milk confronting Soldier Boy. You have pretty much yeah. Starlight and Huey, I would say yeah. they're broken up at this point. You yeah. have Butcher and Mother's Milk and their whole situation and their dynamic. And then ultimately at the end, which is a good point, they did bring this up, is the fact that, yes, it is an orgy and they're doing some crazy shit in this orgy. But some of these heroes, some of these people that are here are completely innocent people. You know what
oh,
I mean?
Oh, yeah. And yeah. I thought that was very fair point. And it's a very
die.
Real problem.
Yeah, and a lot of them die because of that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a very real problem. And I was very proud of them, actually, for mentioning. It was a brief, it was brief, and it was just a line, but I thought that was very powerful for them to make that commentary. It's like most of these people are just sex slaves. Yeah. Like they have yeah. no choice to be here and mm-hmm. just deal with what's going on. Yeah, that kind of hurt my soul. But moving on to other things, I was watching the scene. I think Homelander is finally, I think now he's scared. I think he convinced himself. He's like, oh yeah, me, a Mexican soldier boy, I could do that. But you don't just go against Soulja Boy anymore. You had 3-on-1.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, you're going to have to take all of them out.
That's very true. He finally sees them as like an actual threat. Like he's like, yeah. like, you know, because there's that whole, and I thought it was a marvelous scene with Homelander talking to himself in the mirror.
Yeah.
And you actually see the two sides of him. You know, you have like this sort yeah. of weak, humbled man who just wants to be loved. And then you have this other side of him that's just like, okay, whatever, I'm gonna do whatever the hell I want. I don't yeah. care. You know, I think,
yeah,
you know, that was just excellent acting. Another guy
yeah,
that's
excellent. Wait, well, hold on. Isn't Homelander the one that gave Butch the pills in the first place?
No, it was Queen Maeve.
Oh, it's Queen Maeve. Oh, you're right. Yeah. You're right. Okay. Moving on.
Yeah. Another guy that we don't really talk about, but he's in the show and he's like a prominent figure in the show, is Stan Edgar. You know what I mean? The CEO that gets thrown out of
I love
Vault.
Him.
I know. He's such a great actor.
He's very underrated in my opinion.
Super underrated. And I am intrigued because, you know, he's no longer a CEO, but he talked about how Homelander is going to hate it. He's going to hate it. And I think so far that has been proven true that yeah. Homelander is not cut out to be the CEO of Vault. And I'm curious to see how it all plays out by the end of the season. But gotta lie, cannot lie. This has been my favorite show on television so
yeah,
far.
Yeah, I agree. And it always goes by so fast. Like, I know there's only 8 yeah, episodes or whatever. Like, I know there is or there are. But it still upsets me every single season because I just feel like I want more,
yeah,
more,
want,
more,
like,
more,
you want
more.
10 episodes, yeah.
Yeah, and it's always, I know how many episodes to expect, but it never stops to make me mad. Like, I'm just like, it can't be over already. Like, what am I supposed to do now?
I know. And like I said, for as crazy as the show is, I mean, we got people jumping into people's body parts. We got bodily function being sprayed. We got Seth Rogen making cameo.
Yeah, Darius thought that was freaking hilarious.
I thought it was hilarious, too.
He died.
You know what the thing is that this show plays well for, like, you know, I'm 31, but at the core of my inner being, I'm still a kid. You know what I mean? So I will still laugh at childish stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I will still laugh at that stuff because at the end of the day, there's a part of me that is still an immature teenager. But at the same time, I'm also a mature adult. So the themes and elements of the show that it also talks about also appeals to me as well. And it's just like a yeah. perfect combination of this gory, bloody, highly sexualized story, but it has like such a deeper meaning to it. You know what I mean? It's like yeah. it's highly entertaining, and like the show is not for everyone. Like I would never recommend this show to like my mom, but it is a great show. It is one of my favorite shows on television right now.